Trevor Sikkema. Pewter Report, he covers the Bucks for them. Trevor, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Well, we've been out there for many, many years, 20 to be exact, and we've endured some serious storms over the years, and we decided not to try to get blown away, and if indeed they come in, I think we decided just to go on and do it in studio. So hopefully everything is all right. Are they still on the field practicing?
They are. It hasn't started raining yet, but I can be your weather channel's Jim Cantore today for the severe weather if I need to be on the scene for you guys.
So no tempers yesterday. Both coaches have said, hey, no fighting. It's not going to be tolerated. What did you see through your eyes yesterday in practice between the Titans and the Bucks?
Yeah, no fighting, but plenty of jawing. And I think the trash talk kind of started from the Buccaneers. They've got some fiery players. The first one is linebacker Quan Alexander. He's an extremely passionate guy. When he makes a play on you, he will absolutely let you know about it. He did that a couple times. They had him going up through A-gap blitzes, getting a couple of sacks yesterday. I thought the Buccaneers overall really had the Titans number yesterday, I think mainly across the board. And Alexander was kind of poking at him from the trash talk perspective, getting in their heads a little bit. Jason Pierre-Paul was doing that, the new defensive end that they have as well. So tensions, you know, the respect is certainly there between these teams. We're seeing a lot of high fives, a lot of head taps, everything like that. These are two talented rosters, but there's definitely some tensions here. So I'm interested to see kind of how it goes, how the competition elevates again with these two going up against each other today.
You know, unfortunately, kickers, they're rarely talked about. It's kind of like the officials, right, or the refs. The only time you're usually talking about them is when something bad is happening. Rarely are you going, man, that officiating crew, job well done. That
Correct.
Kicker, job well done. Usually you're only talking about a kicker whenever it's bad. We actually went out to Los Angeles yesterday and got a Chargers preview, and certainly they had kicking woes early on in the season that cost them games and probably cost them the playoffs last year. Tampa had tried to address their kicking issues with a high pick, which was rare in the NFL, and it didn't work out, as you well know. Have their kicking woes, is it better? I noticed already some misses in the first preseason game.
It is better, I will say that. Last year was about as dumpster fire as you can have for a position that, like you just said, supposed to be an easy solve. Roberto Aguayo, that high draft pick, was not the guy. Even the guy they brought in, Nick Folk, they tried to bring in a veteran behind him to say, okay, well, at the very least, we'll have this guy on our roster and he'll get it done. Guess what? He didn't get it done. So here they are again this year, another new kicker, Chandler Catanzaro. He's been kind of all around the NFL. He played for the Cardinals, played for the Jets. But he's solid. He's a guy who's pretty solid. He's got solid stats. He's had a great training camp up until the first game, but then that first kick in-game in a Buccaneer uniform was actually an extra point, and he pushed it. Ooh. So he missed another field goal after that, but had two extra points, two field goals. They even made the game-winning field goal after that. So they're hoping that was just kind of jitters, but obviously anytime you talk about kicking in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's a little bit of a, I don't know, some voodoo, some curse, some magic, whatever you want, kind of going against them. It's kind of creeping in the back of your head a little bit.
What are the expectations in Tampa for this team? Because that's a tricky division. We see it seems like it's a revolving door. It's like every year there's somebody new winning that division and usually making a deep run in the playoffs. They have a big, big year. Well, what are the expectations here? I mean, this is a Titans team that went to the second round of the playoffs and they still cleaned house with their coaching staff, and so expectations are high. What are they down in Tampa?
Yeah, it's really interesting depending on who you ask, because the Buccaneers, with Hard Knocks last year and how much they were on Good Morning Football because of that, they were almost kind of like the media darling, that sleeper team around the league. It was like, hey, you know, watch out for the Buccaneers. They've made some nice draft picks. They've made some splashy free agency. People picked them even to be a playoff team last year, and it all fell flat on their face. And the thing is that if you looked at the Bucs team last year on paper and you look at the Bucs team this year on paper, this year's team is way better. So you've got to think that if that's the main component in your head, you've got to think that if you thought playoffs last year and it was just a down year, playoffs have got to be in the conversation for this team because of how much they've invested in them. But then you look at their schedule. It's one of the hardest schedules in the entire NFL with the division that they play in, like you just said. Then they have, you know, they're hosting the Super Bowl champs. They're hosting the Steelers on Monday night. They're also playing the Cowboys and the Ravens. And so the schedule is doing them no favors. But when you look at this team, the roster that they have, this is a roster that's got to be able to compete for a playoff spot and get in eventually. And so it's a tricky evaluation of what you think they're going to be this year because of how it looks on paper and how it kind of fell flat on their face last year.
We were doing the inevitable comparisons yesterday for Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. And one thing we pointed out, just looking at Jameis's stats when he's been in there, the Bucs have thrown the ball a lot. They have leaned on him a lot, and they have not had a great balance in the running game. Is that something they would like to see more of this year? Even though they've really got some nice weapons for him to throw to, would they like to run a little bit more this year?
I think they would like to have more efficiency running the ball. I think that Dirk Koetter likes having a passing attack that can stretch you vertically or horizontally. I think passing is always going to be the main component of this team. When you look at a guy like Jameis Winston being the franchise quarterback there, he's still the number one even when he comes back from his suspension. And just knowing what Dirk Koetter likes to do on offense, I think it's going to remain mainly a passing offense. But he does talk about balance, and I think they just need more efficiency. I mean, Doug Martin was not efficient last year. Charles Sims, not efficient. Jacquizz Rodgers, barely efficient. And then Peyton Barber at the end of the year was the only guy who got him even near 4 yards per carry. He was even a little bit under that, but he was the only guy who got him near that. They've got to be able to have a running game that gets them much closer and a little bit over that 4 yards per carry average. They've just got to be more efficient in what they do. I'm not sure it's going to come with more volume, more carries. They've just got to find a way to do it better and put the running game in better spots throughout the game.
We focused probably more of our show yesterday on the Titans' offense against the Bucs' defense, but those that observed the other half of the field where the Bucs' offense was going to work against the Titans' defense, they really had a lot of praise about Tampa Bay's wide receivers and receivers in general. They thought they probably had the upper hand on the Titans' secondary, which is considered a strength of the Titans team. And I want to ask you in particular about DeSean Jackson. Floyd Reese from our staff singled him out yesterday. This is obviously a guy that has done a lot in the league, but he's getting up there in age. What do you expect from him this year?
It's kind of like the running game. It's a little bit of the same answer. They've got to figure out a way to use DeSean Jackson better because Tampa has never been known for having an electric offense, really, at any point in their franchise history. So getting a guy like DeSean Jackson in here last year, you know, the eyes were wide of what could be and the possibilities. You know, they envisioned those 50, 60-yard passes down the field. But the thing with DeSean Jackson is everybody knows him like that, the defense included. And so the defense was keying in on DeSean getting far down the field. Jameis had some accuracy issues last year, couldn't end up connecting with him on a lot of those deep passes, even when he was open. And so I think it's a lot like the running game. They've just got to find a way to use DeSean better. And we saw this a little bit yesterday when he was going up against Titans cornerback Malcolm Butler. DeSean was cooking him a little bit just with short area speed. It doesn't have to be 40, 50 yards down the field. DeSean can do that, but he doesn't have to do it every time. He can win in other ways. And I think the Bucs have just got to get a little bit better at having DeSean, putting him in places to win with speed in areas that aren't necessarily go routes all the way down the field. You can use him plenty in different areas. And so I think that DeSean could still, of course, have a very productive year. They've just got to put him in better places to succeed.
All right, let's go fantasy focus here. O.J. Howard is the tight end. We know how talented he is. We've watched him play a lot. And he certainly had some pretty good numbers when you get down to it. Is he poised maybe to take another step forward this year?
I'll tell you, I was on a fantasy show about 2.5 weeks ago, and they asked me, hey, you take O.J. Howard or you take Cameron Bray? Which one? How similar are their stats going to be? And I actually told them, I'd still pick Cameron Bray. In 2 weeks, I have seen O.J. Howard be put into the first team and almost explode in any chance he can in practice. And so since that time, I'm all in on O.J. Howard having a breakout second year. This guy's going to get all kinds of looks. Cameron Brate is still going to be involved in the offense, which might be a little annoying for fantasy owners that have him that have Howard as a tight end, but he is going to get plenty of looks. He's going to get plenty of shots at the end zone. O.J. Howard, we've heard this from the coaching staff too. They think the sky is the limit with this guy, and I think that they're going to raise his ceiling and his potential a lot higher this year because he's going to be even more emphasized in the passing game in 2018.
That's exactly what we're looking for, Trevor. Thank you. Good stuff. Hey, wish we could have done this in person, but if it does, head over there to St. Thomas Sports Park, head for shelter, because we've seen it get bad over there.
No, guys, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.